This is another Red FM podcast. And remember, if you enjoyed this episode, for more podcasts, check out redextra.ie. It's full of great Red FM content.
Hello and happy 2020. New decade, new year, new month. This is the longest month of my life. It's like 500 days of a month.
We'll get there.
It's so cold and everything. But in a way, it's like a really good time to reset the batteries.
Yeah, I actually love January because I just feel November and December are so chaotic with Santa and
They're go
parties. Whereas now it's like planning, chilling, resetting, as you said.
Yeah, it's just lovely. Like in a way, I haven't set any resolutions. Just going to be me.
That's okay. You're okay the way you are.
Be
you
okay
kind
to
of
be
really,
me.
I think, though, found your way like last year and you have a groove and you know, you're eating
a
really
bit
healthy
more.
And,
yeah. When I can.
Yeah.
You know what? Maybe if I was to have a resolution, it would be not to be so obsessed about things and just let things go. Like,
I know.
Just get on with it. Like,
yeah. Thinking about that, I was actually, you know, thinking about that last night sitting at home because I was giving out about the skirting boards and this and I need a new couch and the place is like annoying me.
And it's then, not your house is divine.
No. And then I was thinking, like, there's so much more
I know.
People suffering and giving out, you know,
I know.
Like, it's an awful
It's like perspective.
Thing.
We have to kind of roll it back in.
You really do. You have to tap yourself on the shoulder and say, cop yourself on.
And that's nearly a mix. I find if I'm at home too much, sometimes
that's
I start
it.
To, it closes in on me.
Exactly.
And in winter, you can't get out. The nights are kind of dark and the kids, you know.
Yeah, I've said I just long for the days where we're going to be out the back garden playing ball.
The best. Where you won't even care about your couch.
Yes, exactly.
Instead it'll be like, we need garden
door.
Furniture.
Oh, I'll always be giving out about something.
I know, we're all the same. Like, so this year we wanted to start off the podcast with a kind of a new angle, I guess, really. And we, I guess since becoming parents, my kids, I'm learning from them every day. As corny as it sounds, since I had kids, they've changed my perspective on everything. They've changed my outlook. They have changed what I've done with my life. Mm-hmm. Or they've given me a new look that I've changed it myself. I can't blame them for anything. But it's been great. And it's like, you know, they just give me another perspective. And the things that mattered before, new things matter now, I guess. Exactly. It's like a new phase. And part of that, like, I really saw online when poor Greta Thunberg, you know, anything she does, she's beaten down for it online. And I think they're, why are adults, I'm always taken back that on Twitter, grown adults in journalism, in media, in different areas of work, tear her apart online. And I'm like, does it make you feel good to tear down a teenager who really isn't hurting anyone? She's trying to
like
put
we can give out to teenagers and kids and stuff for bullying, but adults are actually
it's poisonous
worse.
It's so bad. And you know, I just couldn't get over that, like, you know, why are we not encouraging people coming up behind us? Why are we so afraid to embrace new ideas coming from youth when it is their future? And you know, the whole climate change thing, without getting into it, we have a podcast that we've done before in it, but like, you only have to switch on the news and see that climate change is not something made up. It's a real problem. Mm-hmm. Look at Australia, look at, you know, Africa and drought. And there's so many different issues now. So, you know, like, why tear someone down because they're trying to highlight that? I'm mesmerised by it. So then it made us look at positive young role models around us in our city, closer to home. And there's so many. There are so many. So
and I think we're at that stage where we're thinking about our children will be teenagers before we know it.
Yeah.
And you know, you're thinking, what will they be? What will they do? How you can encourage them?
And I really hope that mine aren't the trolls tearing others apart. Who knows? We might be visiting them in Cork prison. But you know what? Let's not joke about it. And yeah, when we looked closer to home, we found some amazing young people. And we want to give them the mic. We want to bring them on board. Talk to them, sit down with them, give them a platform to talk about what they're doing, because there are so many young people doing really great things and you kind of only hear about the oldies in the media, to be fair.
Yeah.
The voices on media are oldies. A lot of the opinions, you know, there's young and old, but again, they're voiced by oldies and like us dinosaurs upwards.
Yeah. And I feel as well with teenagers that are making waves and doing incredible things, they don't shout it from the rooftop because they're not at that confident level yet. You know?
No, and social media has changed it because, you know, the what seems to make money and get likes on social media is your Kim Kardashian, oh, look at me in my barely there clothes, or look at me, you know, putting on makeup and I look way older than I actually am, and, you know, whatever floats your boat. But that's what works online. Mm-hmm. Whereas there's so many other people in different areas are too busy doing their craft and training or learning what they're doing to big themselves up. Mm-hmm. And I'm fascinated by them. I'm like, what are they doing behind closed doors? And that, you know, they're too busy to even shout themselves out on online. Mm-hmm. So let's give them a platform.
Yes.
And that takes us to our first. We're really happy actually to have this young woman in the studio today, because there is nobody better to start the podcast in 2020, a new era, than Holly Davis. Welcome. Welcome, Holly.
Hi, thank you.
Holly, how old are you?
14.
Wow.
15.
God.
Oh my God, I turned 15 like 4 days ago. Guys, I need to get used to saying it.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
When we were coming in, Viv and I were looking at her, we were like, oh my God, she's like as tall as us. Like, we're 5'10". You're so tall and everything.
I don't think I'm taller than you. Oh. I wish I was a bit taller. I need to be kind of taller for my sport.
But you know, you came into my kind of eyeline maybe about a year ago. I had seen your dad, Jason, had put up some pretty amazing things about you, you know, in sport that you were achieving. And while I had heard about you, I think the internet helps people really get a visual and understand, wow, this girl is doing amazing things. So walk us back to the start. Tell us, you are a rower. How did you get into rowing day one?
Well, I was really interested in like sports when I was younger. I did like things like like swimming and like life-saving and karate.
We're all taking notes now. We're like going home, making the kids do swimming, life-saving.
And then I started rowing in like May, like 3 years ago, I think. And I really enjoyed it. But it was the summer camp I did that August, I think. I like found out that it was something I really wanted to do, something I loved.
So the summer camp, was it like a catalyst for you into realizing personally, this is for me. I really, really enjoy this.
It was so good. Like I probably wasn't the best. I wasn't that good, but it was just the like community and like the friends I made. I just really fell in love with it.
Where was the summer camp?
It was in Farrin Woods in the National Rowing Centre.
So lovely there.
Fabulous. What a way, lovely way to spend August.
Yeah,
I know. What a facility as well to have on our doorstep.
It's so good.
And so with rowing, when you realised after the summer camp, this is something I want to do, had you any fears? Like, were you worrying, is this going to encroach in on school, or when? How much must I train? Like, what were the first kind of steps for you?
Well, when I first started, like, it wasn't that serious. It was kind of just like fun, like go meet your friends and have like a good time at training. So like, I wasn't really worried about much. It only really started getting serious kind of a year or so ago, where like I had to train a lot and focus.
And that's how it should be, isn't it? Like, that's all we kind of want at that age, is to enjoy something, not for the competitive angle at the start. Mm-hmm. It's just because you love doing what you're doing.
Yeah.
And we did a podcast with Marion Heffernan.
Yes.
Who is an amazing athlete. And she said the percentages that drop off from sport at, I think it was at like 14 plus.
I think when women get to teenage age, mm-hmm. if they've been in sport from a young age, they pull away from it. Mm-hmm. So
it does take so much dedication. Like, how do you find the dedication part of it, getting up early in the morning? And
yeah, like it does take a lot of dedication. Like, I have to do like spend all my time training, and like food, like I don't eat what everyone else eats. Like, I bring my own food everywhere, and like I really love my sport, so I kind of just love doing everything about it. Like, it's not like a bad sacrifice I have to make. Yeah. Like, you know, I enjoy every
bit of
it.
Once you have the passion for it, you're enjoying every minute of it.
And I noticed on Facebook last night, you had, I thought it was really interesting that you have started to share snippets of what it takes to train and to maintain a level of fitness to do the sport that you do. You were doing strength training.
Yeah.
Do you have days like we all do where you're at home, it's really cold, it's January, and you're like, I would way prefer to sit at home, watch Love Island or whatever on TV and eat a bar of chocolate, but you have to get up and go?
Yeah, like I feel like everyone has them days, but like, I know it sounds kind of cringy and like, but you know, you kind of have goals, and you know, these are the things that are going to help you to achieve them, so it kind of motivates you to get up.
Isn't it amazing like in your teenage years, to have that focus and to have that understanding. It's incredible.
Yeah. And you know, it's such an amazing distraction from social media and phones, because I feel there's so many teenagers out there that just come home from school and go on Instagram and Snapchat and spend the evening doing it.
I know.
So you're out there.
Do you feel any pressure yourself that you might be a little bit different to your peers in school, that you have different goals to them?
Yeah, like I do, like I don't go out with them as much, and like I feel like, you know, a bit of FOMO kicking in, like but they all are like really supportive of what I do and really proud of me, so it's really
because
good.
It's incredible what you're doing, so yeah. You know, I'm sure a lot of them are only looking on in admiration, if anything.
Yes, definitely. Who are your sporting idols, both locally and globally?
Well, locally, like, it has to be Sunita Paspura. Like, she's just brilliant. She's amazing. And I've, like, watched her get better and better, like, since I started rowing. And
brilliant.
You know, she's been rowing for so long, and she's become, like, the best female, like, single scholar in the world. Like,
Do you have mentors like that that you can reach out to when you're having a challenging time in your sport, that you could, you know, have a chat to on a day that you find a bit more tough?
Well, yeah, like I have my coach, like Mick, he's unreal, like he's the best. Mm. And I've got loads of friends at my club and stuff, so
brilliant.
It's really good.
Surrounded by like-minded people, no doubt.
Yeah.
And globally, who would you look up to in sport?
Well, there's kind of like two. Kim Brennan, she's the current like single scholar Olympic champion. She's really good. And she's just, you know, she originally got injured and she had to come back from her injury and stuff. And she's kept on going to the Olympics until she like eventually got the gold, which was really inspiring. And Serena Williams is amazing as well. Like, I just think it's so good that she's kind of, you know, advocating like good body image for like strong women and stuff. I think it's,
yes, it's incredible.
Yeah,
it's incredible. And even seeing the background of how people embrace that and are on board with it is very refreshing as well, isn't it?
Yeah, it's really cool.
It really is. How important do you think it is for young women to get into sport?
Oh, I think it's one of the most important things like you can do. Like, it's helped me so much with like stress and like somewhere to go where like I feel like, you know, it's to get the stress out from school and like where I can go to my friends and feel like I fit in, and like it's really, really good. And like it helps me like stay organized with school, because you know I need to be at training for a certain amount of time and do good at school at the same time. So I think I don't know what I'd do without my sport, to be honest.
It's brilliant. It just gives you great discipline, doesn't
yeah.
it? We had Rena Buckley, the All-Star GA player, in with us on another podcast last year, and she was saying that, you know, just as you said there about like a way to relieve stress, that years ago, if she had a bad day in school, or, you know, had an issue with anyone, or, you know, if there was anything negative went on that day, you went home, you had your dinner, and then you went off out training.
Yeah.
You ran around a pitch for an hour and a half, and you had the team values, yeah. You had the exercise, and it was just really good for your mental health. And, you know, you just ran it out and you got home and everything was okay.
Yeah, you look forward to it as well. Like when I'm at school and I'm having like a bad, stressful day, I'm like, I'll just get through it and then I can get to rowing, you know?
That's brilliant.
It's so good.
Brilliant.
And Holly, tell us, what is it like to compete for your country?
It's amazing. Like, it's one of the best feelings ever. Like at the start, like I got selected at the national championships, and it was just so good because I've been training for it all year, you know.
So how many people go forward for that?
I think there was 7 junior girls who went to the home internationals. That's what we were getting selected for.
And where does this take place?
It was in Scotland last year. It was really good. And yeah, it was we got to fly over with the team, and like you try on like your Irish kit for the first time.
Oh wow, the pride, and that must be incredible.
Oh, it's unreal. And then like I was so nervous. I'm not going to say I wasn't. I was so excited, but I was so nervous. Like, I was, like, crying the night before with my dad. Like, it was really stressful. But I managed to pull it together on the day, and I won my race, which was amazing. And
what is the buzz of that like?
Oh,
like, you know, when you're in the boat and you're rowing, do you get to a stage where you kind of really realise, I'm out ahead here and I have to stay ahead?
Yeah, I think like when you get that little bit ahead, like you kind of just realise, okay, like I could win this. And like you kind of just, you know the feeling of how it is to like be like to win. Like, it's just, you have to hold on to it. Like, it helps you push through the pain.
So then when you got through there, what happened next?
Like when I finished the race.
Yeah.
Yeah, like when I finished the race, I kind of had to like stop and take a deep breath, you know, like my whole year has come together, like I've achieved all my goals, which was amazing.
Wow.
And then I got to the podium and like they raised the flag and the national anthem was on.
That's incredible.
It was really amazing.
And where do you go from there once you achieve something like that? How do you reset your goals from that then?
Well, yeah, like there's always bigger and better places to go, you know. So actually,
and girl, you have a lifetime ahead of you to do it. You're so, so young.
Yeah, like after that, I got like last minute selected for Coupe de Genuis. So that's kind of it's either 11 or 13 countries competing that.
Okay.
Because one of the girls got injured, so I got to go over to Italy like 2 weeks later and compete in a double, which was really, really amazing experience.
So you're meeting people from all over the world in your sport.
Yeah, it's unreal. And this year I had to reset my goals, and hopefully if everything goes together, I get to go to Junior World Championships.
Wow, that's incredible. So what does a regular week look like for you training wise?
Well, I train 6 days a week like normally. So two of them would be in the gym, like weights training.
Okay.
And then now that it's winter, two of them would be like on the rowing machine because like it gets darker earlier.
So you can't go out as much.
And then on the weekend when we go in the morning, it's like on the water. And we do like 20 kilometer sessions and stuff. So they're pretty fun.
Wow.
Unbelievable. Yeah, I often see rowers in the River Lee, and I'm absolutely fascinated. Yeah.
I know.
The dedication.
And I was saying to Viv, like friends of ours, when I was in secondary school, Lucy and Deirdre, they were in one of the rowing clubs as well in the city, and they used to get up at like 6 o'clock and go for a random run like before school. And you know, when you're that age, I didn't do anything physical at all, and I was always mesmerised. With their dedication, it was really admirable. It was amazing.
It's brilliant at that age, especially. Yeah.
So if you could, Holly, improve one thing from your view in sporting in Ireland or locally, what do you think that would be?
Well, like I know in rowing, like I know how hard it is and how much time and dedication like it is to become like a good athlete. And it would be amazing to see it become like a professional sport. Okay. And for it, like, you know, in Ireland, when you have kids, it's kind of just like, oh, send her to camogie, send her to soccer.
And dance. It's like, she goes off to dance.
It would be something to like, you know, for rowing to be like a mainstream sport like that would be pretty good.
Well, I think that only happens when there is somebody of your calibre in the city that young people start to look up to, people hear about, people see on social media, people hear in a podcast, you know. Then you have like my 5.5-year-old in the car this morning. I was telling you, she was like, ask Holly now, did she ever turn over in her boat? Like, she was mesmerised. She was going to school to tell everyone, and she was really, she had loads of questions. She was like, can she swim, Mum? I hope so.
I definitely hope so.
But it's lovely to start the conversation and for young people to ask questions about something that they don't see every day. Because who knows what little seed is planted there for the future as well.
Yeah, definitely.
And outside of rowing, do you have any goals and dreams when you leave school? Any do you want to go to college?
Yeah, definitely. I'd love to be like a sports physio or something like that. Yeah, it's really cool. But maybe I could be like a coach of like a national squad. That's the kind of dream when I stop rowing. But I don't know how it's all going to pan out, to be honest.
Okay, let's set a date for a podcast in a few years' time.
Yeah, definitely.
I still don't know what I want to be when I grow up.
Exactly.
And I'm gone beyond growing up now at this stage.
Actually, my son asks me that on a regular basis. Mom, what are you going to be when you grow up? Mom.
Yeah, your mom forever. Holly, how do you feel then about other young women using their platform for social good globally? Like, for example, Greta Thunberg. We spoke about her earlier. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a kind of a new age of people having access to media and the opportunity to spread a good word. Like your page on Facebook, Holly Davis Rowing. It's incredible. And it's so simple. Like, you don't have to try anything. It's just a little snippet of what you do. And I find it inspiring, you know.
Yeah, I think it's amazing. I think that young girls now are getting the opportunity to have a voice. And I think that's so good. Like, hopefully one day that I'll have some sort of a voice like Greta Thunberg, that like I can go and, you know, inspire young women to do things and, you know, be strong and like Serena Williams, have good body image and be proud of what you do, you know.
Because I think weight training in our day, it was unheard of.
No.
Like, nobody lifted a weight, you know, it was all male orientated. But now the benefits for a woman are
We're trying
incredible.
To change that, yeah.
Yes. And you know, Viv and I owned a model agency for 15, 20 years. Mm-hmm. And I think there was a kind of a preconceived idea that you had to be really thin to be a model. And while that might apply in London or New York, for us, the thing that people never kind of realized was that it wasn't about your shape. It was about your self-confidence and your ability to own your own uniqueness, mm-hmm. whether you were really pale, really dark, really tall. Like our models that got the most work, one was in her 60s mm-hmm. and the other was a size 14 to 16 mm-hmm. maybe. So,
and it was their spark and their glow,
it was
and
their personality, and they owned it and they were amazing. So I think it's only media in like magazines historically has told us what we should, mm-hmm. what's kind of culturally acceptable for the way you look.
Yeah. But I love following Roz Purcell actually for that. Her Instagram is great. She just brilliant. Shows the reality. And back in the day, like, she would have been Miss Universe and like really, really thin. And now she's showing that curves and being strong is
strength, you know, is everything. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. It's such a good message, I mm-hmm. think, to give, because, you know, you just have to step into a garage and look at magazines and it's all filtered, it's all fake, yeah. you know. Have you had is social media part of your life at all? Like, I'm really afraid with Erin. I'm like, when is she going to ask me for a phone? I hope she's 22 or something.
Or never.
What is the age that in school that people have phones now?
I think it's kind of like 11. Like,
oh, stop, please.
Yeah, like, that's kind of, it's kind of bad, I know.
But I presume at 11, it's just to ring your mom, is
yeah,
it?
Like, I'd say so, hopefully.
No, like TikTok. Yeah.
Like, when TikTok came out, I was like, this is officially the first platform that I'm not that ever going to join, because I just can't do it. Like, I'm too old. I can't.
No. I said I wouldn't do it either. I'm after falling down the hole.
Really? Watch now, and in a year's time, we'll all be doing it.
And now that Holly's on it, we have to join to watch her TikTok.
Oh, God, no.
So, Holly, we wish you the best of luck this year. What are you most excited about this year? What are you focusing on?
I'm just focusing on trying to do my best in all my trials and try get to junior world championships, try get selected, hopefully.
We'd be following your journey anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. You're a student at Cloche de Cullum.
Yeah.
And you've lots of friends there.
Loads.
And lots of, what's your favourite subject actually?
PE.
Of course. Of course.
I think that was my least favourite.
I used to dodge PE. Oh, Holly, if only you were a friend in school. Our lives could have been so much better, Viv. We would have been so much healthier and everything. Well, we wish you the absolute best. Is there anything else that you'd like to kind of, like, if anyone is listening to this, not just my 5-year-old, hopefully we have other listeners, but what advice would you give to any younger kids who are watching you or admire you and would really like to get into some aspect of sport, especially females?
I think you just have to work with what you're good with, you know, and like sport, like, it's so good for like everything, like your mental health. Like, you really don't really understand like how good it genuinely makes you feel every day and stuff. And, you know, some people obviously aren't as good in school as others, and you kind of have to work with what you're good at and make the most of it, you know.
Holly, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
If anyone is looking for you, they can find you at Holly Davis Rowing. Online, yes,
yeah.
Great, and we can follow all of your endeavours there. And again, we think you are the most amazing female ambassador for sporting in Cork. You are the future of sporting, and you're such a great role model for our kids, for everything, really. So we wish you the best of luck.
Thank you
for joining us. So you can find all of our episodes over on redextra.ie. There's fantastic content there right across the station, and our little podcast, it's where its home is. So do check out our other episodes. Stay in touch with us through social media. We're kind of mostly on Instagram, aren't we, Viv?
Yeah.
We have a presence on Facebook, but
just about manage one.
Yeah, I know. Life is too busy. Let's not get bogged down in all of that. But yeah, Instagram is where we're at. We have some nice IGTV videos as well. We're just dipping our toes in the water there. So check them out. Get in touch with us. And if you know anyone with a good story, especially young people, please do let us know. Over and out, Emer and Viv at The Life Hustle.
Bye for now.
Thanks for listening to this Red FM podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and check out redextra.ie for more great Red FM content.